Good afternoon. I want to give sort of a testimony. So a couple of weeks ago was Valentine's Day. And we know it speaks about love and speaks about having love and stuff like that. But there's sometimes when we don't feel lovable. And, you know, the enemy puts in our minds different things about you're not worthy and maybe things we've done in our past or things that we think about. And in 2021, I went through an ordeal I never went through in my life. I was always a person, and people know me, know I'm freewheeling. I like to run to danger. There's people who run away from danger. I like to run to danger. But I ended up waking up one day and I had vertigo, and I felt like the whole room was spinning, and I was like, what's going on? And everything was elevated, my heart rate, everything. And so they took me to the hospital. They thought I was having a stroke. And the doctor was trying to get all my levels down, and they gave me so much medicine that I ended up having rhabdomyolysis, which is basically what rhabdomyolysis is when your muscle breaks down into your bloodstream. And if you never felt excruciating pain before, and I've never had a childbirth or anything or stuff like that, but as a man, I want to say that's, you know, it almost feels like, you know, it was like it was so much pain. They had to give me morphine, so everything was passing into my bloodstream. And then they gave me some other medicine that caused my throat to close up, right? So my whole body was in fight or flight, right? And I ended up having post-traumatic stress disorder from everything that happened. This was a space of 2 weeks. And what happened was when I got post-traumatic stress disorder, I didn't have any bad anxiety. I mean, like I've never in my life had anxiety, but that was the time I felt so anxious. I felt like, you know, I just didn't know what to do. And I couldn't sleep for months. I was in physical therapy because my legs, I couldn't walk long because of the muscles and my legs had been broken down, my back. And so I was in physical therapy and I started to think like, why is this happening to me? I was like, why is this happening to me? Like, God has forgotten me. You know, like, you know, I live a good life. Why is this happening to me? Why is this can't happen to somebody else? And you start to think those thoughts. And in that time, the Lord gave me a verse, Isaiah 41, verse 10. He says, you know, fear not. You know, and he's, you know, it told me that, you know, he's holding my hand through this ordeal. But in those dark times, the Lord reaffirmed his love to me. God reaffirmed his love to me. And I just want to encourage us with that the Father loves us. In Luke chapter 15, and I want to let you know that the love the Father has for you is not anything because of you. It's because of who he is. And it says in 1 John, I think it's chapter 4, it says, God is love. I think it's verse 8. But let's read through this. And it says, then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possession with prodigal living. But when he had spent all there, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent them into the fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. When he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. And when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it. Let us eat and be merry, for this is my son who was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. So I want to use this to apply it to us as Christians. And I want to make a big disclaimer. We do not believe in being saved and lost, right? Once you're saved, you are saved. But we can go through times when we could be backslidden, where we can have our relationship with God is broken in a way because of maybe the things we're doing or the life we're living. And I just want to encourage us through this passage that the Father always wants us to come back to Him. He's always willing to receive us. And through those times when I was going through these ordeals, and I hate to admit, is that I probably was coasting, right? And it's easy to coast, right? If you grew up in a Christian home and you grew up amongst the saints, right? It's easy to coast. I mean, it's easy to go through the motions, right? You know what I'm saying? Yes, you're coming to meeting, you're doing all these things, but how is it affecting your heart? And we'll get more into that. And it says, younger said to his father. And I wanted to hone on that younger. You know what I'm saying? Because he could have said that he has two sons and the other son, but the Bible is always descriptive in the things that it says. And that's why the Spirit of God wants us to know younger. Why he said younger? Because when we're young, we always think we know the most, right? You know what I'm saying? You know, we always think, look, I thought I knew more than my parents, right? You know what I'm saying? You know, who are they to tell me? They don't know any better, right? And when we're young, you know what I'm saying? We think we know the most. But I could say now, at 40 years old, they were right, right? You know what I'm saying? They were right. Looking back, the things that the brethren told me from when I was younger, the things my parents told me, they were right. But when you're young, you think you know better. So he said, you know what? Give me all that I have, that all that I want, and I'm going to do it myself. And sometimes the Lord has to let us go through these times to let us know you cannot do it yourself. And it says that when he went and spent all that he had, and there was a famine in the land. And I want to tell you that pleasure of sin is for a season. Is that the things of this world, they want to make you feel that these things are going to last. They will not last. As we see here, that what happened is that there was a famine. There was nothing else to sustain him. And there's nothing in this world that could sustain us spiritually. I'm telling you, you could look far and wide. You could read Solomon. You could read David. They tell you that there's nothing that can satisfy like the Father's love. And I want to encourage us with that today. And that he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. And this is how some Christians are today. They are feeding themselves on the things that are fit for swine. They're feeding anything on the thing in this world. These things are not fit for you. They look at the things and they are now at a point where they start to desire these things. Imagine where he was and where he had brought to that. Now he's willing to eat the food that the swine were going to eat. But I'm glad that he thought about his father. And he said, the Bible says he came to himself. And that's where I think that a lot of us need to come. We need to come to the end of itself, ourselves. And I think sometimes we might go through serious situations. We might go through tough situations. But I'm telling you that when you come to the end of yourself, you should find your way back to the Father's love. And he says, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will rise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. We're not worthy of the Father's love, but he loves us anyway. And I always listen to, and my parents, my kids know, and I always listen to this song in the car, and it talks about the Father's love. It says that, and it's a beautiful song. The hymn writer says that when the Father looks at us, he looks at us with pride. He doesn't look at us with, you know, any, like, you know, disappointment in his eyes. He looks at it with pride. And so when he came back to the Father, he says the Father looked at him from a way off, a great way off. His Father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And I want to tell you that there's nothing we can do that he won't love us as we as believers, right? It's not like some people, when they get to know you, you know what? They might stop liking you, right? They may say, well, I don't, like, he doesn't rub me the right way. He doesn't, stuff like that. And we may go through that, right? But the Father knows everything about us, and he still loves us. There's no disappointment in his eyes. He ran to him and kissed him and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But that's a beautiful picture that we know about the Father, is that we're not only he's not only that he loves us, but he has called us to be his sons. And we're studying that in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, it talks about how he brought us to be his sons. And it says that, and the Father said to his servant, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put on a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. So here I want to say the robe speaks of the righteousness we have through the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that this son came and he had rags on him, right? And when we come to the Lord, or when we come to him, right, come to God, is that he clothes us in his righteousness through his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So he put on a robe on him. But it also said he put a ring on his hand. And to me, I want to say the ring speaks of the eternal relationship we have with the Father. Is that his love for us is eternal. In Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 3, it says that I have loved you with an eternal love, an everlasting love. His love doesn't have to do with time, right? Everybody else's love will stop. Look, you know, my parents, one day, you know, they won't be here. One day, I won't be here. One day, people we love won't be here. But the Father's love is eternal. It doesn't have to do with time. And it says that he puts sandals on his feet. And sandals on his feet speaks of the relationship we have. Not only that it's an eternal relationship, but that we're sons. Is that in those days, the servants didn't wear shoes. It's only the people in the house or the sons used to wear shoes. So him putting sandals on his feet was telling him, hey, you know what? You are my son. I don't want you to be a servant. I want you to be my son. And it says, bring the fatted calf here and kill it. And the fatted calf here speaks about the Lord Jesus Christ. The Father wants us, not only that he loves us, but he wants us to enjoy Christ with him. He wants us to enjoy what Christ has done for us. Because of Christ, that's the reason why we can say that the Father loves us. It's because of Christ's finished work on the cross. That's how we know. That's the proof of his love. And when somebody loves you, you always, you know, the world always say, actions speak louder than words. Well, God has given us the greatest action. He gave us his son. And he said, kill the fatted calf and let us eat and be merry. And to me, the sad part of this story is verse 25. It's now his older son was in the field. And it says, the older son came and he drew near to the house and he heard the music and he heard the dancing, right? And he says, so he called one of his servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come because he received him safe and sound. Your father has killed the fatted calf. But he was angry and would not go in. And therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I have been serving you. I have never transgressed your commandment any time. And yet you never gave me a young goat I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who had devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him? And he said to him, son, you are always with me. All that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again and was lost and is found. And to me, this is a sad part of the story, because the son was there with the father. He could have basked in the father's love, right? And all he was cared about was himself. And to me, this is a sad part for some Christians today. We care about, we're so caught up with self, we don't care about others. And he knew, this is a sad part of it, he knew what his brother was doing. It says that he said, yes, this son of yours, he came and devoured your livelihood with harlots. So he knew what was going on. We never saw that he reached out to his brother. We never saw that he went to get him or he went to encourage him. But when he came back, he was saying, well, I was here all the time. And that's the thing. When we bask in the Father's love, it should give us a response to treat other people. And in 1 John chapter 4, it talks about the response we should have. It says, verse 10, I'll read verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. And verse 10, it says, in this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. So that tells me that this older brother, he wasn't enjoying the father's love. Is that the world had took effect on him. Because he was in the field also, and the field could speak of the world. We know in other aspects of scriptures, the field could speak of the world, but the world has taken effect on this older brother's heart. Is that he no longer had any affection for others. He was cared about, this is not being done to me. This is me, why this thing? And even the way he spoke about his brother, he said, this son of yours, right? It's almost like, you know, this guy, you know, he's a bothersome. And so my thing is that we have to, as we enjoy the Father's love, let it change our hearts, how we treat others and how we can encourage others. But I want to talk a little bit more about the Father's love. And in Isaiah chapter 49, verse 15, it says, can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, but yet I will not forget you. See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. And I want to bring this up, one aspect of the Father's love, that he'll never forget you. Sometimes in your times of trouble, in your times of pain, when you go through times of really, you know, the waves are rocking you, you may feel like God forgotten me. Like he's not looking at me right now. He's forgotten me. But I want to tell you, the Father is reassuring you today that he will never forget you. He will never forget you. And he brings it up to a woman, you know, a woman who's nursing her child. They always are cognizant of where they are, right? But he brings in that he has that same care and affection for you. He's always looking at you. But also it says that he says, I inscribe you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. So back in those days, there was no picture cameras, right? So how they used to remember people was they used to chisel on, like, you know, walls or plaster. They used to chisel pictures of the people so they could remember them, right? And so this is what he's saying. He's saying that he has a picture of you in his mind, right? You know what I'm saying? He's always looking at you. He's always thinking about you. And that's what I want you to know. The Father loves you so much that he's always thinking about you. You're inscribed on his palms of his hands. It just overwhelms me when I think of this love, how much he loves us. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, it says that we are his workmanship, or we are his masterpiece. And when those times when you feel broken, right, it's imagine to think that we are his masterpiece. The Father is looking at us and saying that you are his masterpiece. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what family you're born. It doesn't matter your creed. It doesn't matter who you are. He's saying, you are his masterpiece, and I've called you for my purpose. When those times when I felt broken, these are the things that held my heart together to know that even in those broken moments when people would have looked at me and said, look what happened to him. The Lord, the Father is looking at me and saying, you're a masterpiece. I'll never forget you. Let's turn to another one. In Malachi chapter 1 and verse 2. I have loved you, says the Lord. Yet you say, in what way have you loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, says the Lord? Yet Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated. And this aspect of the Father's love is that he wants us to remember what he's done for us. Is that sometimes we're quick to forget, right, what he has done for us. But he wants us to remember, and I want you to look back at the times when today, look back at the times when you went through those troubled times and look where you are today. I could look back at those experiences and I could say that I could feel the Father's love there. When you're going through it, yeah, it's tough. But he wants us to look back and say, you know what? I have loved you. And you ask why, how I have loved you? Look back at all the time he brought you through. Look at all the times that he's brought you through and just be encouraged by that. And this last part, was not Esau Jacob's brother, said Lord, and Jacob I have loved and Esau I have hated. This means that it's not anything to do with you. His love is sovereign. His love is because of who he is. It's not anything about you. It's not, you know, sometimes the love of this world is transactional. I like you because you give me something. Or I find affinity for you, so I'm going to give you my love. That's not how the Father is, right? The Father's love is based off of who he is. It's his character. God is love. And it feels good to know that because your faith ebb and flows sometimes. It feels good to know that the Father loves us unconditionally and that it's eternal. That in 1 Corinthians 13, it says that all these things will pass away. You know, hope, faith, all these different things, right? But he says that love will not. You know what I'm saying? His love is eternal. His love is lasting. And let's turn to 1 John chapter 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. And to translate this in another way, it says, what love the Father has bestowed upon us. This amazing love. I just want you to just sit right now and just think about how the Father loves us. He knows every thought. He knows everything we've done. He knows how much hair on our head. He knows what you're going to do tomorrow. He knows the future, and he still loves us. I don't know what I'm going to do tomorrow. I may disappoint many people tomorrow, but the Father looks at me and still loves me. In John 17, the Lord Jesus Christ said that they may know that you have sent me, and that the same love that you have for me, that you have for them. The Father's love is shown through the Lord Jesus Christ. And another part, it says that his love should also help us in terms of fear and different things like that. In 1 John, I think is chapter 4 also, it says that perfect love casts out fear. And that's the thing, is that fear sometimes could grip our hearts. Sometimes that fear, but knowing the Father's love helps us with fear, helps us with anxiety, helps us with all these things, because we can know that the Father means well for our lives. It means that he everything is for our good. Is that if we believe that, and we know that the Father loves us, and that every aspect of our lives he wants good for us, it takes away anxiety, it takes away fear, knowing that every path of our life is being driven by him, and it's being directed by him. And as we be directed by him, even though we go through pain and with troubles, we know it's for our good. And this is such an encouragement to me, knowing that I have a person who loves me and is not conditioned on anything on me. And I just want us to be encouraged by that this morning, is that the Father loves you. There's no disappointment in his eyes. There's only love when you look at him. There's only love. I mean, I know we could go to him, and in 1 John chapter 1, we see that we can go to him whenever we, you know, confess our sins. We can come to him and we could say, you know what, I'm going through this. And we could go to him, we could talk to him any moment. He's always there. I know I love my children, but sometimes I may not be there all the time. But the Father is always there. He's always there as a listening ear. You could go to him. You can say, you know what, I reached the end of my road. I'm going through this and I don't know what to do. And he's there. He's waiting for a kiss. He's waiting with his hands outstretched, saying, I love you. Saying that, you know what, this is an eternal relationship. It can't end. And I love in Romans chapter 8, it says that, let's turn to that. Romans chapter 8, it says, and we know to all things work together for good to those who love God and those who are called according to his purpose. But he who did not spare his son, verse 32, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge to God's elect if God who justifies? It says, yet in all things we are, verse 37, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate us from the Father's love. It's eternal. There's nothing that can separate us. That he wants us to remember what he's done for us. And he also wants us to know that there's a proof of his love. Now, there's always a response for love also. And so my thing is that it's good to know that someone loves you, right? But imagine if somebody gave you a Valentine's card every year and you just chuck it in the back. And you say, well, you know, that was a nice gesture. You know what I'm saying? And there was no response. I believe this love demands a response. As the hymn writer said, it demands my soul, my life, and my all. When I think about what the Lord Jesus Christ brought me through, what the Father's love has secured me when I was going through those times is that I can't be quiet. I can't sit still. I have to do something for God. And those quiet moments when I couldn't sleep and I prayed, I said, Father, if I get out of this, I want to wholly rededicate my life to you. I want to wholly be on fire for you. I want to show others about this great love that you have for me. And I just want to encourage us with that. For his name's sake, amen.